are dreams just random images fired from an unconscious brain during sleep? Or something much more important, like life-saving inner guidance? How dreams can be healing and early warning tools for disease, financial crisis, or success? And love is still one of the behavioral science's greatest unanswered questions. Hello, I'm your host, author Kat O'Keefe Canavis. Welcome to Dreaming Healing, where dreams and cutting-edge scientific research meet on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Dreaming Healing is every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, when you can call in and ask Kat questions about your amazing dreams. Talk on air. Call toll-free 833-220 1200. That's 833-220-1200. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Welcome to Dreaming Healing. This show is a video podcast. So if you're only listening and you want to watch, go to my website at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com or The Queen of Dreams and click the Dream Vision 7 button in the upper right-hand corner, and it'll take you to my show page, and you can watch the show live right now from there. If you want to call in and talk with me during the live show with video streaming also, just because it's video doesn't mean you won't come through, you can call 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. Okay, so what do Judy Lemon, who is a shamanic practitioner, and Ellie Pichette, who is a metaphysician and medium and shaman, and Jess Campman, who is an equine guided sacred messenger and a bridge between worlds, have in common, besides the fact that they are all contributing authors to the Amazon number one bestseller, Crappy to Happy? Well, they all had a very crappy experience that had an enlightening and happy ending. But before we go into all those details, let's start our show with our protection meditation, okay? So if you're driving, please don't close your eyes during this meditation. Just listen, and it will work, all right? So what we're going to do during this meditation is we're going to imagine using something that's small, but really powerful to you. It could be something given to you in a dream. It could be a piece of jewelry from a loved one, maybe a grandparent, or a parent, your best friend. It could be a flower. It could be a crystal, anything that holds the power of love for you. That's going to be your power gift. And what we're going to do is we are going to take three really deep breaths in. We're going to hold on to those breaths as long as we can each time. Let any tiny particles of negativity connect to that breath of life. Then we're going to blow it out across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain, where it's going to be converted into beautiful light and returned to the universe. So we're not going to be littering. And then we're going to use that wonderful power tool, that wonderful power gift to create a bubble mirror circle around us to keep us safe. All right, sit comfortably, and we're going to start by taking in our first deep breath. Okay, ready? Feel yourself kind of relaxing and being centered. Close your eyes and take a deep breath in. Hold it. Now blow it across the room, right into that purple flame of Saint Germain. Again, deep breath in. Imagine any little tiny specks like pepper of negativity, something you said to someone, something they said to you, anything negative, blow it out across the room, right into that purple flame of Saint Germain. One more time, really deep, fill your whole lungs in. Hold it as long as you can, as long as you can. Now blow it out and empty your whole lung out, all the way down. Imagine it going into that purple flame and turning into beautiful golden light. Now imagine holding your gift, your power gift in your hand. Surround yourself using that power gift. Make little tiny circles all around your body. That circle is going to turn into a bubble of mirrored light that only allows that which is of the highest and best to come into our bubble with our spirit guides and guardian angels. Anything else is reflected back from whence it came. We wish it so, and therefore it is. When you're ready, just open your eyes. Oh, that always feels so good. So we all have crappy to happy moments in our lives. Knowing how to move through those moments can keep us happy and healthy. Some of us have crappier moments than others, and some moments are longer than others. We have three incredible women today who are also authors in the book that is an Amazon bestseller, Crappy to Happy. And many of us right now are in a very crappy place. Some of us are locked in our homes. We can't get out. We've lost our job. We don't have a job. Our families all the way across the world, and we can't even speak to our children or our grandchildren. But our authors today, Judy Lemon, Jess Kampmans, and Ellie Pichette, are here to show you how they moved from a crappy place into a very happy, joyful place. And so I've been talking now for so long, I'm going to actually let them introduce themselves, and I'm going to take a step back. So let's start with you, Judy Lemon. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I love your background. And oh, did your cat leave during the meditation?
No, she's right here.
Oh, she's still in her meditative spot, still inhaling.
I find whenever I do any kind of magical work, the cat comes in closer. She particularly loves qigong and meditation. So, you know, animals are very sensitive to energy. So when I start doing something with good juju, she comes in like a magnet.
And that's why I have Jess and Ellie on this show with you today. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, like you mentioned, I introduce myself to more English speakers as a shamanic practitioner. I am inducted into the lineage of the Vegetalistas, the Rio Napo in Peru. A vegetalista is a medicine person who primarily works with plants in many different forms. It's an umbrella term, and there are many specialties underneath that. So in the Peruvian Amazon, where I have spent quite a number of years and did my apprenticeships, you might have specialties where people work with tobacco or perfume or plant medicines and those kind of things. So because the term vegetalista can be a little confusing here, sometimes people think it means vegetarian. I just use a more umbrella term of shamanic practitioner, and most people can go, oh, okay, I get that.
I love that. That's great. So for those of you who are only listening to the show, you don't have the advantage of seeing it. Judy had this beautiful cat sitting in her lap just before we did meditation, and now she's down on the floor continuing the meditation. So thank you for that, Judy. Jess, tell us what you do.
I call myself an equine guided sacred messenger, and it was my horses that helped me get to this place of being able to become a bridge between worlds and tune into that energy that's always available as information for us, whether it's from our ancestors or our animals or the world in general, the collective cosmos, and be able to translate that to offer deeper insights into our relationships and our connections that we actually have in our reality, and the pieces of information that are waiting for us to connect with them, I guess you could say, to help us understand and transform our lives and be guided more by our innate wisdom and spirit and the animals who are here to help us. And it was my horses that helped me get to this place of being able to communicate in this way. Mm-hmm. And this idea of sacred messenger is just delivering the messages or the insights or the hands-on healing that come to me during times when I'm meeting in this space with someone, to be able to deliver them what it is that I'm being given and to gift to them.
I love that. That is just really beautiful, Jess. And so I know, Ellie, I know that you know that what Jess is talking about, because that's, and Judy also, because that's also what you do. Tell us a little bit about what you do, Ellie.
Well, there are two main branches to my work. One is the shamanic branch, which involves identifying, communicating with, and then removing negative entities from clients. And it's a natural born, it's really a remembering in which I didn't go to study shamanism. I just started remembering how to do my shaman work from past lifetimes and started doing it in my practice. The other main branch of my work is the Pochette healing technique, which I've developed over 30 plus years. And it's an ability that I have that has gotten stronger over time, in which I can intuit on a high level what the most important issue is to clear for the client. And then I literally dissolve it and they'll feel it going down as I'm working with them. And so if they start out at a 9 or a 10, by the end of the session, whatever the issue is usually down to a 0 or a 1. And they also feel deeply relaxed.
Do you do this with animals also, Ellie?
I do this with animals. Yeah, I do it quite a bit, whether it's the, a seagull that I happen to see where I live. I've worked on a few of those so far, living on the South Shore now. A Canadian goose who had stepped on a piece of glass and severed its the nerve running down the leg to its foot, and I was able to get that foot working and the leg working again. So they really, geese are heavy birds. That's why their legs are so thick. Mm-hmm. So they really need both to be able to forage and pull grass.
So do you find that you have help from maybe some animal spirit guides from the other side that help you with this?
I have a team of spirit guides that work with me. They enhance the energy of the work that I do.
Great. Okay. I don't want you to go too deep into this yet, because we're going to come back to you. Let's go back to Judy. Judy, tell us what your crappy is that you write about in the book, Crappy to Happy. Tell us a little bit about that crappy. But don't give us the happy at the end, because we're going to come back and get to that later.
Okay. For part of my, the two different apprenticeships, the two long-term apprenticeships I've done in the jungle, part of it is really being able to face fears. A lot of what we do is working in the dark, oftentimes under the influence of very hallucinogenic plant medicines, which can be a little bit scary. But if you're going to be a leader and be responsible for people, you have to learn to be able to stand in your power and work with the spirit crews. Like Ellie was mentioning, you know, we all have these crews that we're working with. So for part of the tradition, it's to go sit out in the jungle at night and drink a big cup of ayahuasca and do a ceremony alone with the spirits of the jungle. So for me, as someone who did not grow up in the Amazon and have a lot of the innate awareness, just knowing that there are things out there that want to eat you, I was a little bit concerned that, you know, some of these wild animals that prowl around at night might find me sitting there and maybe want to have a little snack.
That's amazing. I mean, I had to actually conquer my fear and panic attacks when I first became a scuba diver, and I got down. My first checkout dive, I floated down and hit the sand, and right in front of me was a shark. It was laying there just basking kind of on the sand, and I had to control my breathing. I had to control my panic attacks because, they really don't do us a whole lot of good, and they can do us a lot of harm. So I can understand that's where I'm going when I'm hearing you talk about that. I'm thinking about that first dive hitting the bottom. There's this big shark just sitting there looking at me like, is that bait? Did that just drop off the boat? Or is that alive? What is that? And I'm like, shark, I'm not breathing. I got to breathe. So that is an amazing story. And you just go out there in the dark, in the middle of the jungle, on hallucinogens, and sit there in a chair all night, right? You don't come out until the morning?
No, it was actually about 4 hours. Because I actually did a ceremony. So I was singing, I was singing to the plants. Mm-hmm. So it's not just sitting out there, there's a purpose for being there. You create sacred space and, you are addressing the multidimensional beings.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So we're going to come back to you on how that helped and moved you into a place of happy. But before we do that, I just wanted to ask one other question. Why were you doing this? Was there a reason that you decided to do this, Judy? How did that connect into your crappy?
I didn't really decide. It was something that my teacher asked me to do. So I've actually produced a short video explaining a bit more of the things that I couldn't fit all in the story. But basically, my teacher at the time, Luis, said, we must not be afraid when the spirits come up and touch us. Mm-hmm. So he, this is something he did in his apprenticeship and all of our ancestors down the line. So just because I wasn't from there, there were no exclusions. So he invited mm-hmm. me to do this. And I said, yes, I'm going to do this. So that's great. It was part of my training.
Okay, great. Oh my gosh, what a trip that is. So Jess, tell us about your crappy that your story was based on in the book, Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy. What was your crappy part?
The crappy story part of it actually begins in Sacred Stories of Transformational Change, Chaos to Clarity, speaking about the deaths of all of my horses. I'd always grown up with horses and my life revolved around them. And when a number of them became dying, needing to understand why, and also recognizing that I had disowned myself in how my horses began to not show up for me because I wasn't showing up for myself. So what that looked like is I would go out to catch them and they would all run away, or they would be really distrusting or really aggressive or really nervous, unsettled, and that a lot of them were born, I had a number of years where many of them were born deformed and had to help them transition back to spirit. And I just kept wondering, why is this happening? And then a number of older horses were dying really traumatic deaths. And so it almost had me want to sell them all and give up on them, which actually meant I was probably ready to give up on myself. Mm. And
That's really interesting because I when I'm listening to you, I'm actually feeling what a lot of parents might feel when they're going through that with their children and are thinking, why do my children not want to be around me? Why do I have to chase after them? Why don't they come to me? But maybe it's because they aren't there for themselves. And when you're not there for yourself, it's really hard to be there for anyone else. So Ellie, tell us your crappy. What was your crappy in the story?
It was when my two cats who had been with me for over 20 years each when they started to decline. And it was a very intense, about 6 month period of just trying to help and fix and heal. And the healing I did helped to a great extent. But ultimately, you know, their time here in physical form was coming to an end. And it was very painful for me. I remember over the years kind of dreading when that time would come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I know that Jess, especially you working with your horses one-on-one and Judy, you know, working in the jungle with the animals, when we lose our fur friends, you know, and you've got fur friends sitting on your feet, when we lose those fur friends, it's so painful. They're a part of our family. They're our friends. And we think that's, at the time, we often feel like, well, that's it. I'm not going to get to see them anymore. I'm not going to be with them anymore. But when we get into the next part of this program, especially with Ellie, we're going to see how that's not true. That's not true at all. And so I'm hoping that gives a lot of us comfort to know that death is not the end and love never dies. Don't go away. We're going to go to a quick break. You are listening to Dreaming Healing on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, and I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, by Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
How did life start on Earth, and why is there so much suffering? Are we living in a simulated reality like the characters in the Matrix movie? Do parallel dimensions exist alongside ours, influencing our experience? What are the mysterious dark energies that penetrate our universe? Peter Canova folds space and time to bring the twin bookends of ancient wisdom and quantum science into a single focal point, answering these and many other deep mysteries of the creation. Quantum Spirituality can be heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. See the show where past and present merge to show us our future.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Cannabis, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Have you met your physician within yet? The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers. Why are we here?
How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to happy. Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. I'm your host, Kat Cannabis, and we, just before the break, we were speaking with three of the co-authors in the book, Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy, and they were talking about their crappy. And one of the things that James Redfield, who wrote the foreword to this book, talks about in the foreword is how this book is the art of the comeback. And all three of these authors that we're speaking with today exemplify that art. And it is an art, and it's something that everybody can learn. So I'm hoping that by the end of this show, there's a takeaway for you if you are in a crappy situation. Like I said, many of us are right now. So let's shift now from the crappy, we know about the crappy, into the happy part of each of these three amazing stories. Judy, let's start with you. What was your happy? We're not even going to talk about shifting into it right now. What was the happy part in your story?
Facing my fears and realizing that by facing them, I really had nothing to fear at all.
And was there something that shifted you into that? Was there an aha moment?
I think a shift is probably a good way to mention it, because first, when I was sitting out there with this magic tree at my back, that's the magic tree of the story. It's a Renaco tree with many roots. Every time I'd hear a crunch or I'd look out in the bushes and I would see eyes, you know, I would get into this defensive sort of a thing. And then after a while, it was more like I would hear this, just relax, you're safe, you know, everything is fine. And knowing that I had this tree holding space for me, and then I just kept singing, you know, I'm singing my sacred songs. And I remember one of the fears I had was that it was going to rain, because it does rain a lot in the jungle. And then I remember looking up, and the most beautiful sky, the sky in the Amazon is just breathtaking, I should say. It leaves me breathless. And I remember looking up, I'm going to get all kind of emotional here. I'm thinking, what on earth was I afraid of? This is the most beautiful experience I could ever have in my life. What an opportunity. How could I have been so silly? And after that, it was like a whole different world opened up. And I pushed beyond some of my self-imposed limits.
Oh, I like that. Self-imposed limits. I think that is really important. And you just pushed right through those.
Yeah. And I remember the next morning when I went to breakfast and my teacher came out and we didn't even have to say a word. He knew, you know, he just looked at me and he smiled and I looked at him and smiled. And it was like, it was a rite of passage. You know, here was me, this bumbling foreigner trying to follow in their footsteps, who actually successfully completed one of the trials. And, you know, and he just kind of smiled and is like, you know, ¿Estás bien, Judita? Are you fine? And I'm like, oh my goodness, that was like beyond anything I could have ever imagined. So it's taught me a lot about fear. I work with a lot of people who have fear, people who are starting to wake up and they're afraid of what might happen when we lift the veil. So now that I've been through a lot of that myself, that's part of what I do, well, as a trauma therapist as well, is to help them step into their power gently and let the veils of fear drop gently. So it's not so traumatizing after all.
You know, there was another thing that I failed to mention about these three authors, the three of you today, that you all three were in the book Chaos to Clarity. And one, Chaos to Clarity was about overcoming fear, because one of the largest fears that we have in life is the fear of fear itself, the unknown. And so, you know, you just went right through that, Judy. You just sat there in that chair and you looked up into that beautiful sky and you said, what is there to be afraid of? Where's their fear? There is none. And I'm wondering if maybe the jungle wasn't kind of giving you a big hug and saying, there's nothing to fear as long as all the spirits here in the jungle are with you. And we are. That's what I took away when I was reading your beautiful story, how the jungle just said, you know what? We love her. We're going to make sure nothing happens to her. And, you know, the jungle communicates with all the animals in the jungle. And so you probably did. Those eyes you saw in there were probably, you know, the most fearful animals in the jungle just coming to say, yes, we accept her. Did you ever have a little bit of that feeling?
Absolutely. Because I've done a lot of work in very remote places outside, you know, places, and I've traveled a lot of places that, you know, could have been a little bit dangerous. I find something that's very common when you walk in and you make a sacred space and you honor the ancestors and you walk in a good way, you may be doing a vision quest or something, like a sweat lodge. I've never seen anything bad happen. I'm not saying that it doesn't, but in my experience, when you become one with the sacred, you are protected.
I love that. That's very comforting. So, Jess, tell us how you moved into your happy, because, you know, like Ellie had lost her cats, when you're losing your horses, that has got to be a devastating blow emotionally to you. I can't even imagine. And the fact that you love them enough to actually consider giving them up in order for them to have a happier life, because you're thinking to yourself, well, they can't be happy with me if they're all dying and they keep running away from me. That shows how deep your love went for them. And I have to believe they felt that on some level. So take us through your happy.
I love how you worded all of that, because what I think I had the courage to find the clarity of was beyond my love for them was their love for me. And being able to come here as essentially a soul into a horse body to help me find that thing that I needed, which was my connection back to myself. And that courage to be able to tune into them and question, you know, why did this happen with you? Why did you die this way? Why aren't you still here? And be okay with the answers, because I feared the answers that I was this horrible person, or that I, just like fear, we don't really have an understanding of why we're fearing that thing. But the thing I think I feared most was having the understanding of why they kept leaving me. And when I finally started being able to tune into them, which opened up kind of like Judy said, a whole new world. Like in being able to communicate in this way, again, so many things that Judy said, so similar experiences and so much resonance. There are all of the aspects, everything that one would consider dark to light, but it's being able to reach into the dark to find that clarity and be able to feel it in a way that that feeling itself transforms you. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just what I kept holding on to was this idea that I was always inspired by the horses being in freedom and moving, and just me being part of that relationship with them, that I kept coming back to, and I thought, I can't let this go. And so that was kind of what helped me have that courage to reach into what I didn't understand, that unknown, that place of the dark, and find what it was that I needed, which was that understanding of why they kept leaving me. And then it kind of moved forward into, you know, they helped me create this way of helping other people and still walking this path of reaching deeper and deeper and finding a more evolved connection and sacred relationship with them that has just become exponential.
So would you say just that you had a shift into happiness, or was it all of a sudden a boom, aha moment, and you were there?
I would say there was a few aha moments that happened right around the same time. And one of them, or two of them actually, I write about in Crappy to Happy. And it was that idea of, if you were a horse, what would your name be? And mine was Mystic Warrior. And I, as soon as that question was asked, it just came in. And I thought, I love that idea of Mystic and Warrior. I've always kind of felt very strong. But what I realized was that name that I had unconsciously chosen, and then it was allowed to come into my awareness because the question had been asked, helped me uncover this whole level of ability that, again, I believe we all have. And like Ellie said, it's just remembering of that and being able to bring it to life through who we are. So it was that. And then as I was driving home from this weekend experience, I channeled my, 11-year deceased mother-in-law. And I've never done that before, but it felt so right and so real. And the words thank you came out of my mouth in a way that I knew it wasn't mine. And the feeling that I didn't write about that came with that was, thank you for becoming part of my family and this world that I needed to leave in order to help from the other side. And thank you for being here and reaching into the dark to be able to bring this gift of who you are into my family.
Wow. And
it was.
That's deep. So do you think that that accepting thanks and embracing thanks was a little bit of what brought you out of the crappy and into the happy and into the joy? That yes. Thanks? Yeah. Yeah. Just sitting back and just letting thanks wash over you, which some of us, you know, seriously, we don't sit quietly long enough for that to happen. And that's where finding a quiet space in our lives, in our hearts, and just giving thanks and receiving thanks can be so life-changing. Thank you so much, you know, for sharing that with us, Jess. Let's move to you, Ellie. Ellie, what, you know, your crappy was having to lose your fur babies. And I know how close you were with those fur babies. I do, because I'm very close with mine. And I lost one of mine last Thanksgiving. Fortunately, it's the first time I had one die in my arms. He was very old. He was sick. He was going. But he chose not to show any of his illness so that he could stay at home with me and die in my arms. And that was a new experience for me. That was, you know, I suddenly realized maybe animals have the ability to leave when they're ready to go and choose the place where they leave from. So that was a learning experience for me. So tell us how you moved from that crappy, Ellie, of losing your beloved little fur babies into a happy one.
Well, it was a process, Kat, and it started out as, you know, getting communication from them, and
you mean after they had passed,
the communication after they passed. In fact, this Saturday is the 1 year anniversary of Blue. She died on Halloween last year. And I never thought I would put anyone to sleep, but she had to be put to sleep. And and I had done a lot of work preparing her for this. and letting her know that we would always be connected. That was her biggest fear, was that we would lose our connection when she transitioned. So when I was there and she was put to sleep, and I had never done this before, within about 30 seconds, much to my wonderful surprise, I heard, "I'm right here, Mommy. I'm okay." and then you and I talked after that, and she was in the car driving home with me. Her spirit was in the car with me. And so that was helpful. And then, you know, Snickers, his transition took a little bit longer. He left after her, about 3 months after. And I didn't hear from him as quickly. But then when I started to hear from both of them, it did make me feel better. And even though I really miss being able to have them physically around to touch and caress and whisper sweet things in their ears and just hug them and love them. You know, I still miss that a lot. But the good part is that I know that they're helping me. They came in as my spirit guides, and they came into physical form as a huge service, for which I'm so grateful for. And now they're back in spirit form, still as two of my most important guides. And they have dedicated themselves to be of service and to be with me for the rest of my incarnation this time, this life.
That is so beautiful. You know, it's amazing that we can't always see them during our waking hours, although I know Ellie probably sees their shadows. I see them in my waking hours too, but they always come to us in our dreams. I constantly see all my children in my dreams. So you are listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, and I'm the host of Dreaming Healing. Don't go away, because we're going to be right back.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, by Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
Have you met your physician within yet? The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers. Darkest hours to brightest moments, transformation from despair to happiness, and chaos to clarity. Real people, real pain, real healing. life-threatening illness, death, abusive relationships, divorce, and overcoming addiction are challenges these men and women faced head-on. See how they emerged stronger and happier. Buy the new book, Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change by Reverend Patricia Caginello and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available on sacredstoriespublishing.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
In a world facing annihilation, a miraculous African nun rises to become the first female pope through a web of war, murder, and betrayal. Loved by some, hated by many, she becomes the deadly target of Islamic terrorists and her own cardinals as she introduces a new vision that will either save humanity or accelerate its destruction. Four people must race against a nuclear holocaust to learn her astonishing secret. Pope Annalisa is available at petercanova.com, Amazon, and other online booksellers and bookstores worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com. I'm your host, Kat Cannabis, and you can find out more about me on my website, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, or thequeenofdreams.com. And if you've got any questions you'd like for me to answer, you can send them to me, katcan@comcast.net, or you can go on to my Facebook page, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, author, speaker, and just leave the questionnaire and I'll answer it on the next show. So just before the break, we were talking about moving and shifting into the happy part of these stories of losing fur babies or overcoming our fears. And these are a lot of things that many of us are actually experiencing right now. With COVID being the way it is, a lot of veterinarians aren't open. I know that that's one of the reasons why I've received emails from people who have said, I feel guilty because my pet passed and I couldn't get them to the vet to have them put to sleep. Do you think that they're okay now? And I tell them, I had the same experience. My pet died in my arms. And it was such a beautiful experience. He passed from a place of love, my arms. So no, there's nothing to worry about. And love never dies. As Ellie was talking about, her cats came back right away. One of them even rode home in the car with her. So we all, if we're coming from a place of love and we're embracing love, it's all good. So in this last section of our show, it's just gone so quickly, I want to ask each of our guests if they have any last thoughts about moving from a place of crappy to happy, which is what a lot of us are doing now. So let's go back and let's change it up a little bit. Jess, let's start with you first this time. Any thoughts?
I guess the best thing that I can offer is we always all have something that inspires us. And what inspires us is that thing that will heal us because we connect to our inspiration. And it is that pathway of connection that brings us the things that heal us. And so for me, that was finding this deeper relationship with myself through my horses, and because they were the ones that inspired me to be able to come face to face with the idea that I might have to sell them all, to give them a better life. And I couldn't actually bring myself to that. And so it was just following where they were guiding me that kept holding that inspiration that one day I had, because if we feel this possibility or potential that exists, it is possible within us to bring that into life. And so that potential and that possibility through what inspires you will bring about those changes that will help you get there.
So Jess, just so everybody knows, I'm looking up here in the book, the name of your story is Become the Soul's Calling, and it's in part four of the book, Life Journey and Identity, The Long and Winding Road. So let's go to you now, Ellie. Ellie, what do you have any final thoughts on moving from crappy to happy?
Yeah, I feel that connection is so important. And I really learned how much capacity I have, that I have to love. I mean, it went so deep with these two soul cats. I learned a lot, and I learned a lot about love, unconditional love. So connection, healing, you know, always making myself available. If an animal or a person needs healing, and that's very gratifying. And I guess a good takeaway for listeners and people who watch the show is that when you lose a pet, similar to losing a human companion, they, you know, they go through their transition and then they are here to guide us and to continue to watch over us and serve us. And that's the happy part, is knowing that the connection is a little different, but it's actually still the same. And if anything, it continues to grow, is my experience.
I love that. And Ellie, your story in the book, I just have my finger on it. It's titled How Losing My Cats Turned Into Blessings. And it is in part three of the book, Grief and Loss, Let the Circle Be Unbroken. And so, Judy, what are your final thoughts? Do you have any you want to share with us?
Well, you know, building on what both Jess and Ellie were talking about, I think when we're in the middle of something really crappy, we can't always see our way out of the pit. And I've learned from my experience that time heals a lot of the wounds. So in a lot of the events in my life that were a lot crappier than what I wrote about in the book, now I can look back and I can see how the universe actually created that to get me where I am today. So, you know, some people say like, well, do we have destiny? Are our lives predetermined? We have free will. We have free choice. But I think also for a lot of us who believe in the higher powers and our spirit crews, we're definitely being guided. And sometimes they have to really slap us up the backside in order for us, in order to get where we need to go. So in the midst of the crappiness, to find that strength within, knowing that eventually we will come out of it and we'll be able to look back and go, now I see why that happened. Mm-hmm. You know, you start, things make sense. Mm-hmm. And like Ellie said, there is no death. My parents passed 7 years ago and I still talk to them and they're still here, along with all the past cats. So that's very reassuring as well.
So Judy, your story in the book is titled The Magic Tree, and it is in part four, Life Journey and Identity, The Long and Winding Road. Although we have only touched on aspects of their stories in this book, on this program today. So The book is available on Amazon. You can also go to sacredstoriespublishing.com and pick the book up there. I'd like to just go over your websites one more time because we're coming down to our last 3 minutes. Judy, your website is judylemon.com. Is that correct?
That's it.
JudyLemon.com. And Ellie, your website is phoenixrisinghealing.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's phoenixrisinghealing.com. And Jess, yours is jesscampmans.com. Is that correct? Jess? But did we lose Jess?
Looks like she, looks like just disappeared.
Like up there.
Uh-oh, crappy moment. There she is. Oh, she might be trying to come. There she is. Hey, Jess. we all looked up and we're like, oh my goodness, Jess is gone. So Jess, your website is jesscampmans.com, right? Oh, she's frozen now. Okay, so it's jesscampmans.com, jesscampmans.com. I want to thank you so much for being on the show with us today. And I encourage everybody to get the books to read your amazing stories. Again, you've been listening to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7RadioNetwork.com, and I'm your host. Please, Cat Cannabis, please join me again next Tuesday for more amazing stories that connect to dreams. Remember, everybody dreams, but some dreams save lives. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening, and a big thanks to our producer. Tune in next time to Dreaming Healing for more cutting-edge research, live dream interpretations, and stories with radio host and award-winning author, Cat O'Keefe Cannabis. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time with call-in live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Remember, everyone dreams, but some dreams save lives. Live your dreams. Find more about Cat at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. That's Kathleen with a K. O-K-E-E-F-E-K-A-N-A-V-O-S. Or the Queen of Dreams on Google search.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.